Well, the last time Hollywood writers walked off the job a decade ago, it cost the Californian economy more than $2 billion and halted production on scores of movies and TV shows for months. Now Hollywood is bracing for another strike. Supporters of the Writers Guild of America are preparing to turn off their laptops later today if an agreement isn't reached with the major studios. The writers want better wages and healthcare benefits when their contracts expire this afternoon. If the studios don't increase their offer, it could also stop television production in its tracks, with late-night comedy shows expected to be the first to face a writer's blackout. Jonathan Handel is an entertainment lawyer and contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. He joins us from LA. Jonathan, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
The Writers Guild of America says around 96% of its support base backs the strike later today. That's if an agreement can't be reached with the studios. So what is it that the writers want that they're not getting?
Well, it's a panoply of issues, but it comes down to largely the change in the way series are made and the lengths of series. A lot more new scripted television series these days, but they tend to be shorter. And that causes two problems for writers, you know, 8 or 12 episodes rather than 22 per season. And the writers get paid by the episode, so they get paid less, and then they get held on ice, idled, for the rest of the year because the show wants the writers available to them. Now, the parties have made some progress on that particular issue, but there are other issues. The health plan is running deficits. There are disagreements on what the basic wage increases should be. And the troubling signs here are that even at this late date, less than 12 hours before expiration, there still is a back and forth that may lead to a deal or may be the path to a strike.
Jonathan, can you put this in some perspective for us? What would a Hollywood writer, I think the series we're talking about that are shorter in length, they're mainly the ones that are on the streaming services, aren't they? They're mainly Netflix, those kind of series.
Well, actually, as a result of the influence of those Netflix series, the average length on linear channels on cable and broadcast has also been declining. So there's been a very sharp decline in the average length of a series.
And
it does create difficulties.
So if we get this in perspective, what kind of fee would a writer get for writing, say, I don't know, a series like Homeland, say?
Well, it's very hard to give exact numbers. The minimum for writing a one-hour script is something like $38,000 U.S., but writers also get producing fees when they rise in seniority, and there's a complexity here. Some of the writers are relatively well paid, but still are facing what the Writers Guild said is 25% declines in their average income.
And Jonathan, pardon my ignorance, is that $38,000 a 1 hour episode per episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so
right.
over a run of 10 shows, they could still get $380,000. That's a lot.
Well, they
of
don't
money.
Write all 10. There are multiple writers on the series.
Oh, I see. They don't write all 10. Yeah. Okay. So, what is the issue though? If the series are shorter now, doesn't that mean the writers can just do more series in a year?
No, because they're held under exclusivity and kept idle for the rest of the year. And that's one thing. If you're on a 22 episode series that maybe takes 30 weeks or something to shoot, but if you're on an 8 episode series, that's a lot of the year to be held idle. The series want their writers available to them when they when they come back if they get picked up.
Okay.
And so that's the source of that.
Is money really at the heart of this? I know we mentioned healthcare, but the writers are holding out for a deal worth about $530 million. The studios are offering nowhere near that, about $180 million. That's a global figure, is it, that would be worked out on a per capita basis, basically, or per episode basis?
Right. The numbers that they've moved a bit closer since those numbers. The writers, the last writers thing that the writers announced was they were looking for about $468 million. The studios are probably a little north of $200 million, but you're still talking a $200-$250 million gap. That's the cost of the contract enhancements over the 3 year life of the contract, and that's very difficult, a very difficult kind of gap to bridge. But meanwhile, what we're looking at in terms of the effect, for example, on the California economy, could be a hit of roughly $200 million per week if there is a strike. And that is added, of course, to the effect that viewers will see.
Why did why does a writer's strike hit the Californian economy so sharply?
Well, because there's a ripple effect. If the writers go on strike, then the shows go dark, because if there are no writers, you don't have shows. So the crew, the cast, they all get laid off. The ancillary businesses, whether it's the prop houses, whether it's restaurants, all of that that support the entertainment industry and the entertainment economy, the effect ripples. Southern California economy is basically entertainment, some technology, and real estate. So it's a very important sector.
If the writers vote, and the vote's happening in later today, your time, I think, our time, tomorrow your time, if they vote to go on strike, how would we notice that, first off? Which would be the first shows to be affected? Would it be the daily shows, the sort of the evening comedy news shows, those kind of things?
Well, it would be. And to clarify, there won't be another vote. The membership voted to give the leadership the authorization to call a strike in their discretion, right? So it would be a decision by the negotiators and the leadership. And yes, first the late night shows, you know, the Tonight Show and so forth, then the weekly shows like Saturday Night Live, then the soap operas. I don't know if the U.S. soap operas travel. Then the half-hour sitcoms, the one-hours. And there's kind of a ripple effect, and eventually you get to the features. The winner here would be Netflix, because Netflix produces their original content further in advance, and they have a depth of library content. You never caught Breaking Bad, now is the time to come see it. A strike would drive viewers off of linear channels and onto digital platforms.
Here in Australia, we're getting more and more series straight off the back of the first view in the US. So a series, say, like Homeland, we're getting it straight after it's gone to air each episode in the US. So Hollywood strikes in the past might not have affected viewing so much here, but it will have a real impact now, won't it?
Well, it really will. I mean, the entertainment industry has become sort of more tightly stitched together globally, and you do have a lot more instances across the world where people get things, you know, very shortly after, you know, after the U.S., in the case of U.S. product. So, you know, you will see that effect. And if the strike goes more than 6 weeks, it impairs the fall broadcast season. And at that point, you know, all bets are potentially off.
Jonathan, just briefly and finally, what do you think the chances of this being negotiated today?
I'm not optimistic, but there's, you know, there really are no clear crystal balls. It's very fluid.
The stakes are high. Jonathan Handel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jonathan Handel is an entertainment lawyer and contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. And later our time, this decision, this negotiation, will either succeed or fail, and you might notice that on your TV screen sooner than you think.